We are continuing to move our way through Luke's gospel, and we come to chapter 5. Jesus is recruiting his friends to the disciples to serve him in his kingdom. He heals a man with leprosy by his faith. And today we read the forgiving of a paralyzed man. Luke's gospel repeatedly shows the theme of Jesus healing for a hurting world. Jesus lets us know he is Lord in our text, and he has the power to forgive sins. But it's through our faith that we are forgiven. And he encourages us to bring people to him through our faith so that all can enjoy his forgiveness by his grace. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. We read, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this, because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. This is the word of our Lord. What's also remarkable about this text is that we see Jesus knows exactly what we need. We think we know sometimes, but we don't. Jesus has a way of not only showing us what we need in our lives through his word, but he empowers us by his spirit to encourage and help others. Now, I'm not trying to brag, but I think I have a slight advantage over you all in knowing what I need. This is only because I'm always getting constant reminders by my wife and my best friend. Ron, go and get that because you are going to need it. Ron, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't need that. Without these reminders, though, I'm just like you, lost and still trying to figure out what I need. In the text, Jesus shows us we need friends, we need faith, and we need his forgiveness. You and I need friends that can tell us, go sit down somewhere. You don't know what you need. Or we need to be those friends to others. I tease my daughters sometimes and tell them, I can't wait till you grow up and become adults because right now I'm just your dad. But when you grow up, I'm going to be your dad slash friend. Their response, we will never be friends, Dad. And this is how I lay down the hammer in the Kelly household. Whenever there's claims that I'm being mean or unfair or unreasonable, I'll say, it's okay that you don't want to be my friend. I don't care if you don't even like me. Your mother still likes me. And I know this for a fact because she's always telling me what I need to do. You should be so lucky if you have a friend like that when you grow up. But we can't make friends with everyone. But if and when you do, what has to hold your friendship together is faith in Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility as friends to encourage one another and bring one another closer to Christ. I have learned from God's word that people such as this paralyzed man had a certain lifestyle. They often found themselves staples in areas where large crowds would gather so they could beg or ask for help. And it's a possibility that being that he had trouble getting around, he may not have had a lot of friends. But Jesus made sure he had some friends. And the friends that he had was good ones. And Jesus does the same for us. We can call these men friends based on what they were willing to do for the paralyzed man. These men must have had a relationship that over time turned into a friendship of trust and love for one another. As Christian friends, our lives has to be focused on other people. We have to be the type of friend that is willing to make plans and give our time for others. They carried this man on a mat. We sometimes have trouble giving people rides, myself included, because it may be out of our way. I'm thankful that here in our church, we have some that are better than most in going out of their way. Now, I'm going to guess that wherever this paralytic man was situated in life, it wasn't close to the church that he was invited to. More than likely, a good distance away, maybe even across town. Now, I know from experience, friendships have levels to them. Do you see the level of friendship that's going on here? Picture the one friend of the paralyzed man going to his other friends and asking them, hey, next week, do you want to go to church? I hear Jesus is coming to town to preach. And the friends is like, yeah, let's do that. Jesus, I hear he's doing amazing things. He's like, great, great. It may be a little ways away. I think it may be at Peter's house across town. Is that still cool? Yeah, yeah, no problem. Let's still go to church. Like, let's make plans and let's do this. Oh, and I invited my other friend. Is that cool? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's cool. What other friend? Oh, you know, the friend that you see me chopping up with in front of the marketplace, that friend, the beggar, the one that can't walk, how's he gonna get there? Don't tell me y'all done came up on a camel. No, no, we didn't come up on a camel. He still has his mat though. Mat, what are we gonna do? You gonna put the mat on the horse and carriage. We about to pull up to this mega church in style. I can't wait. I'm gonna wear my one robe with my matching sandals. What are you gonna wear? You tripping. You know we don't got money for no horse and carriage. No camel, no horse and carriage, but he does have his mat. And what I was hoping for, that you all can help a brother out. Can we carry my friend to worship. Can you do that for a friend? Now, I'm going to be honest with you all. I don't even like when my friends ask me to help them move. Now, I know I said before that I hope that you all befriend me and the rest of our pastors here. But I don't want to be on that friend level where you're comfortable asking me to help you move. Not just yet. Pastor Hine has already stated that his information is already out there, so maybe it'd be easier to get a hold of him. They went through great lengths to bring their friend to Jesus. They went through these great lengths because they had faith in Jesus. In our text, we see people who moved Jesus with their act of faith. Their faith in Jesus led them to invite a friend to church. Their faith in Jesus led them to introduce their friend to Jesus. Their faith ignored all obstacles. Their faith blocked out any distractions. They believed that Jesus could heal their friend physically, and they found out that Jesus could do so much more. And Jesus was going to give the paralyzed man what he needed, and his faith was going to set him free. After all the planning, the preparation, they went on their journey, and when they pulled up to the mega church, it was packed. One friend just said to the other friend, "What about up there?" They went on the roof, they broke through the roof, and they lowered their friend down to Jesus' feet. Now, this would have been noisy. This would have been messy. Tiles and dirt falling everywhere. It's probably falling around Jesus, but I'm sure it's falling on everybody else. The friends didn't care. It didn't matter how much of a scene they were causing. They didn't care who was there. It didn't matter what people were going to say afterwards. They kept their focus on Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Jesus is setting people free. He's bringing release and restoration. In Luke 1, it says this is coming. He will bring knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. This is Zechariah's prophecy. I said it earlier that Jesus knows what we need. So pay attention in the order to which he heals this guy. This guy is paralyzed. The reason that his friends brought him there because they wanted Jesus to physically heal him. But Jesus forgives the man's sins before he heals the man's sickness. God is always more interested in the eternal healing of your soul rather than the temporary healing of your body. What would it have been for Jesus to heal the man physically only to let the man die eternally? Physical healing only buys us a little more time. But God's objective is to heal our soul, to forgive our sins, and to give us eternity in heaven. When it comes to the healing of a person, the most important thing is that the person knows that their sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Any physical, emotional, or mental healing that comes separate from that is just a Band-Aid. You need to know that your sins are forgiven. You need to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Jesus cares first and foremost about your soul. We need friends, we need faith, and we need forgiveness. I came across a study that was done about 10 years ago, and it stated that people that pray, the thing that they prayed for most is physical healing for their family and friends. Next, they prayed for physical healing for themselves. Further down the list, prayers for forgiveness of sins. We have to go to our friend Jesus and ask for forgiveness. This is what you and I need most. Jesus asked the question, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? We need to look at our expectations of Jesus today and ask, do we truly believe that Jesus forgives sins completely? If so, how do our lives demonstrate that we have been forgiven? How do our prayers and action towards others demonstrate that we believe in him to forgive sins? Or do we only see Jesus as a healer of disease, a protector from danger, a provider of blessings? Jesus certainly does all those things, but we must understand one of the primary reasons Jesus came is to provide forgiveness to those who would come to him in seeking forgiveness. If you were part of this crowd, how would you have responded? Sometimes we get so caught up in hearing God's word that we become oblivious to those who truly need his word. Some people in the crowd just were not spiritually sensitive enough to make room for the paralyzed man. This is something I never read Jesus doing, so I would advise that you all not do. Don't push people away from Jesus and then try to invite them to get to know Jesus. Earlier last month, a lady by the name of Dr. Joan Prince came to speak to the urban pastors in our area. And one thing she discussed was cultures, subcultures, and welcoming and inviting people into the church. I mentioned to my brothers that we have to make sure that we don't tell people how to do Jesus. The Bible says this, and I know the Bible, and I know what you should do. And by the way, meet my friend Jesus. That's not welcoming. That's not inviting. That's not friendly. Imagine if my conversation with you all were like that. Me always telling you, the Bible says this. I wouldn't imagine that too many of you would want to be my friends. Although that will also mean I will have less people asking me to help them move. Maybe the Pharisees are onto something. No, we don't want to be friends that tell people how to do Jesus. That just pushes people away. We don't want to be the friend that doesn't make room for people to get to the gospel. We want to be the people who live out the gospel, whose actions of faith allows us to introduce our friends to the best friend anyone could ever have, a friend that can forgive your sins. Are you bringing your family and friends to Jesus? You bring people to Jesus by imitating Jesus. What kind of friend are you? Do you focus on more which is temporary or that of which is eternal? In your relationships, what are you putting your time and energy into? Pastor Hine mentioned it last week from John 14 that Jesus speaks to us collectively. Togetherness is impactful. We have to have faith in the gospel together. We should be a friend to the gospel together. Jesus calls us friends. Introduce your friends to Jesus. Don't be like that. I hear people say all the time that they don't want to mix up their friends group, their friend groups. It's okay to mix up your friend groups. Bring all your friends to Christ. Jesus is the friend who helps carry the burdens. Jesus is the friend who's not going to judge. Jesus is the friend who always will forgive you. Jesus is the friend that loved you so much, he went to the cross so you and him can be friends forever. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This friendship with Jesus gives you faith, a faith that transforms lives, a faith that surrenders. There's no way to know that God is better than life while holding on to life like it's better than God. Wherever you lead me, God, I will go. Whatever you say, Lord, I will do. Only you have the words to eternal life. Jesus gives you a faith like that. A faith that goes to great lengths for others. A faith that's through the roof. Have faith in Jesus, who went through great lengths to give you salvation. Have faith in the one that blesses you, provides for you, protects you, and forgives you. Jesus separates your sin from you as far as the east is from the west, and he gives you his robe of righteousness. You're forgiven. You're covered. With the friendship, the faith, and the forgiveness from Jesus, just like the paralyzed man in the text, everywhere you can go and praise God. And everyone will look at you and be amazed. And they too will start praising God. Stay faithful to your loving friend. Bring people to your forgiving friend, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we feel like we have strong faith. Some of us feel like we have a little faith. Some of us might feel like we have no faith right now at all. Lord, please forgive us when we doubt your power, when we don't make room for others in need, when we are not the friend you called us to be. Expand our faith, Lord. Show us who you are. Help us see more of your grace, more of your mercy, and more of your forgiveness. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.